So for this show, right, actually, I and I know Stephen laughed, actually, when I sent him the text, that maybe we do a song. Then he ha, ha, ha. I said, why is this guy laughing? Okay, fine.
He guessed the song.
Oh, it's got to be something Elvis.
No, it's not. Fly Me to the Moon.
Oh, Fly Me to the Moon. Well, I haven't sung for 2 months, so don't ask me to sing today.
Okay.
Stephen asked me on Thursday, he said, hey, you know, Jenny Unwell, you think you can come and cover? I said, I haven't sung since about the 10th of December. I'm very funny about my voice. I always work my voice out.
Yeah, I understand.
Very, very dramatically, like a week in advance.
Believe me, I'm a bathroom singer.
Yeah. So, I've heard you sing. You can sing.
We're all coughing now, we're all a bit scared. No, if you don't want to.
Why don't you talk about singing?
We all panic.
We all
interview over, interview over.
I don't believe this. I'm hearing this in the both of you.
No, but it's quite funny. So many people must think we just rock up and sing. Of course we don't. You have to work on your voice.
You're going to warm up.
Are you recording or what?
No, yeah, of course. We're always recording, man.
Oh, is it? From the start. Oh, Jesus.
That's okay.
But he's got no, what you call
filters.
No,
yeah.
No filters.
Fact that. No filters. I can swear then.
It's good for you then.
Hey, you know, none of you said that. I had someone who visited yesterday and told me, Chris, you know, I've asked, because she's got quite a good business network. And I'm out there looking for advertisers and sponsors, right? And she said, I asked two persons, you know, two business owners, and they came back and they said, no, it sure is too vulgar. It really would not give our brand a good look. I said, what the fuck's wrong with you, woman?
Well, it's not going to get better with us three, that's for sure. I think if you had any sponsors, I think she's bloody lost them all.
You know, my reply is very simple, man. If today Gordon Ramsay's Hell's Kitchen, right, is going to open up for advertising and sponsorship for cheap, you'd jump at it, wouldn't you?
It's R21.
That's
very true, actually.
Yeah. So
I love Gordon, actually. I'm a big fan of Gordon.
You are?
Who? Yeah. Gordon. Okay.
Yeah. I'm a big
fan.
The way
he said Gordon. Say Gordon again.
Gordon. No, I'm a really big fan of him.
I tell you, Brit accents. Yeah. I mean, how do you say it the first time?
Gordon.
I heard Gordon.
Gordon.
All right. You're not a Brummie, are you?
No. Bloody hell, no.
Okay. So what do you guys think? Do you want to do the song or not?
No. Can I be honest? I have not used my voice in 2 months.
I've got two guys here who's always doing
this. You can start off first.
You sing, then Stephen will follow. God,
I'm about to ask you guys how we're going to do this shit, man.
Have you heard this voice? Do I sound like I want to sing? I've been at the bar for 5 days in a row.
There you go.
Okay. Tell you what.
The magic word, sing. He goes.
Yeah.
Anyway, sing. Everything can be post produced.
Panic stricken.
If we sound like shit, I'm not gonna put it on.
Don't lie.
If we sound like shit, it's gonna go on the cutting floor. I'm gonna do you guys that favor. Okay. Fuck that. I'm gonna do that.
He's panicking. I'm drinking wine. We're all coughing. Welcome to the world of singing.
Okay. We just give it a shot. We fuck it up. And I'm telling you, I'm not in good shape too. I burned my vocal cords a couple of weeks ago.
Wow, really?
Yeah, because I came back so sick and vomited.
Oh, my God.
And then I sneezed and I have this stupid habit of doing this.
Oh, yeah, I do that too, actually.
And the pressure.
It's bad for you.
I also
do the same thing, you know. It's not good for you.
Yeah, it's not. And I tell you, I'm not in good shape, you know. So let's all fuck up together, okay?
Right. Great. This is going to be brilliant.
Okay, let's just give it a shot, now for shits and giggles, man.
This is more than shits and giggles. Fuck you.
It's only Fly Me to the Moon. Come on. It's not like a heavy song.
Our favorite song.
Is there a story behind that song? When you say that it's a song we love, but something went wrong with that song.
Stephen sang that as kind of a joke, because the one song that everybody, especially back in the early, you know, Bellini Room days, everybody used to say, every request, every piece of paper
is Fly Me to the Moon.
And he used to say, yay, Fly Me to the Moon. And they're like that. As if to say, fucking hell, not again. It was, night, and we still say him. Now.
Is seven, that the literally why you laugh?
Seven fly me to the moons on one night. Oh, you just my think, God. Oh God,
really?
So we just played it.
Yeah.
Oh, did you?
Do you know? It's, yeah. Even if we didn't, he used to pretend that we just did. There are some songs actually that I've never got tired of singing. Sway, I still never get tired of singing.
Oh yeah. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
There's some songs you don't get tired of singing. Yeah, they're like your signature tunes.
Uh-huh.
But Fly Into the Moon is one of the ones I just think, oh, again.
You know something, man? I honestly, honest to God, I didn't know.
You know now.
Now I know. When I picked that song.
Give me two more glasses of water, tell you even more.
Oh, boy. Kai, can you believe this? Okay. Okay, let's give it a shot. Let's give it a shot. I'll start off, okay?
sounds like a doctor's surgery.
We will never get started this way.
Oh, dear.
Okay. Okay, okay.
There's so much.
Okay, let's cue this up. Let's cue this up. Okay, let's really just mess this up.
I'm going to need tissues here.
Let's mess this up. Okay, let's play.
Oh, fucking hell.
Turn up the music a little bit.
Yeah, I cannot hear.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play amongst the stars.
Not bad, eh? It's
bad.
Let me see you outspring us like Jupiter and on Mars.
In other words,
yeah.
Oh my
hand. I don't say something else, huh?
Yeah.
In other words.
Darling, oh, baby, darling, kiss it.
Fill my heart with song that I may sing forevermore.
Feeling very confident here.
You are all I long for.
See, you love
all I worship and I do it all.
In other words, please be true.
Please be true.
In other words,
in other words,
I love you.
I forgot to do this. It's been a couple of months.
Sounds like the Bellini Big Band, huh?
I know, right? Yeah.
Pretty good, huh? The music, huh?
Yeah.
This is kind of cool, actually. You could have warned me I was singing today, though.
I knew, but I didn't want to tell you.
Basket.
Because you were backed up.
You know, I would have done a run-up. Come on, Chris. Take it, baby.
Fill my heart with song that I may sing forevermore.
You are all I long for, and I worship and
adore. I worship and adore.
In other words,
in fact, that wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be.
It wasn't as bad, man. I didn't fuck it up.
Oh, boss, I can still sing. That's good.
Yeah. You got the right key.
Yeah, thank God for that. That was a start.
That was pretty nice.
Yeah, it was good.
It was funny, though.
A bit funny at the beginning.
You have my permission to put it up.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much.
We can get away with that one, I think so.
This is my tribute to the two of you guys.
Thank you.
And this episode is called An Epic Bromance.
Whoa.
With Rob Collins.
We've been saying this
Steve
for so long.
So,
Chris, can I tell you something which is so random?
Right.
I landed in Singapore this very day in 2007.
Really?
Really?
February the 9th.
Really?
I've never forgotten the date.
Really?
Wow. I've never forgotten the date. So actually, this is the first day I met you 18 years ago.
18th anniversary, man.
Oh, really?
Yes, it's
happy anniversary, guys.
The first, the-
Can you fucking believe this shit?
And, you can,
and I'm going to tell you a story about how I met him.
He fucking hated me as well.
Yeah, I'll tell you the story in a while.
Okay.
We can swear, right? Because I'm swearing a lot.
You can swear. I just want to tell you about the cameras. I should have told you earlier, but never mind my fucking recording. That one right there, that's all three of us.
Okay.
That one is the two of you. That one is me.
Oh, okay.
Right, there we go.
As long as you cut it all together later so we look gorgeous, I don't care. Yeah.
So 18
have
you years
got my
ago,
best angle?
18 years ago, you guys met.
Literally.
And I just need to, I want to find out from you, Rob, what prompted you to come to Singapore 18 years ago today?
Do you know, it was super random because I'd had stuff online and I'd been doing stuff in the UK and I used to play in all the pub circuits and all the bars and the clubs. And I'd work with some of the guys from Big Country. I mean, you might not even remember that band, but
Big Country is the band that played the song Big Country.
Yeah,
of course I remember, man.
So Mark Brzezicki and Josh Phillips had written some songs for me.
Wow!
My manager had put all these things together, and I had these kind of things online. And Stephen and I think it was Misha, right?
No, Imelda.
Oh, Imelda.
Imelda Paolo.
Yeah.
They were kind of online.
She was the entertainment.
Artist management.
Yeah.
Right.
So I was music director.
They've been scanning online.
Yeah, we were looking for foreign artists to fit the bill of Michael Bublé.
It was supposed to be a Bublé thing.
Bublé thing, yeah.
Right. In big band. Where? For private
St. James.
St. James. In the Bellini room.
Right.
So it just, it was really random. And this is really true because my parents don't live there anymore. They're back in the UK, but I was going down to visit them in France and I had a BlackBerry. I mean, fucking hell, we're really going back in time.
BlackBerry, man.
BlackBerry. Oh, man. And I'm in the back of the car going down and I got this message. Oh, we'd like you to come to Singapore. I was like, what the fuck?
How did you feel about that? Learning that people, someone in Singapore wants to
come. Can I be really honest with you?
Yeah, please.
I was so daunted and scared and I was shitting myself.
Why?
Because I'd been online and I'd looked at St. James. I didn't know much about Dennis Foo, but then when you could Google and things.
Right.
Well, I mean, you could scan some stuff. I'd seen things on YouTube. I'd seen things about him and I just thought, I don't think I'm fucking worthy to work with these guys, man. I mean, I was really crapping myself. No joke, I was really scared.
Really?
I was so scared. And just that 3 months away from home, because it was supposed to be 3 months, which is now 18 years.
Wow. Yeah.
Three months turned into 18 years. It completely changed my life. But I was really
scared. And the first day
scared.
Of rehearsal, he fucked me up.
Yeah, I did.
Okay, what happened?
Because he was bloody late.
5 minutes late. I was just downstairs preparing all the scores.
I was
so
nervous.
He complained to the management.
Yeah.
Where's your music director? How come he's not here? I said, wow.
That doesn't sound like a scared man.
Yeah. I said, well, this motherfucker wants to fuck around with me, huh? I said, oh, you wait and see. I gave him hell, boy.
Yeah, he did. He was so horrible to me. I hated him. For the first month that we knew each other, I fucking hated him.
Yeah.
Really?
Literally. I hated him as well.
Okay.
And now can you imagine the pair? And now look at the pair of us. No joke, that is really true. I'd never been so far. I mean, I played in America and I'd done this, but I'd never been away on such a massive, thing as St. James was. I think a lot of people, especially younger people now, that never were part of St. James or never saw it or never witnessed it, have no bloody clue how massive that thing was. You've got to give it to Dennis on that one. You've got to give it to the Foo on that one. I always say that.
I think you guys can agree with me. I know Dennis. He'd been on my previous podcast twice.
Oh, really?
Yeah, great guy.
Oh, yeah. I hooked him up for you.
Great. And he's great guy. You know, he came with Jenny. His missus.
Yeah.
And wow, the stories.
I was going to say the stories were going forever.
Bloody stories,
he was in the press yesterday. Did you see?
Was he?
Oh.
Yeah, there was a thing about nightlife and how 3,000 places have just closed down in Singapore. Oh. And
did they get him the call? Because they're referring to this one. Kai, can you put that one up? You're referring to this article?
Ah, this one. This is the one. He's in there.
Right.
He's in there. And so is Mogan from Pub Crawl. So my first bar was in Boat Quay. So I used to have the Pub Crawl guys. Mm. So I know there were so many names in that thing yesterday. I read the article that I knew these people, which is so weird for me because, obviously this is the first person I met 18 years later.
Yeah.
I'm doing F&B and stuff like that as well.
Strangely, you brought it up because as you can see, I actually prepped that article to appear, right?
Wow,
and you brought it up. It's amazing, actually. And since you brought that up, the reason why I have that there is because I want to ask you guys. I mean, we all know. And I just cannot imagine. 18 years ago, it was a boiler room and St. James Power Station and Bellini Room and all that. Yeah. It's so long ago, huh?
Yes.
It just doesn't seem that long ago anyway. And you know, yeah, you're vibrant. And even before that, Dennis was the king.
Well, man. I think Stephen's the one to answer this one because he's been doing this a lot longer than me in Singapore, you know.
Yeah,
before that was Devil's Bar.
Devil's Bar, the Europa Bar, group. Right. Yeah, and I mean, those were the years that people like me, we were enjoying it. I mean, the bands, the Filipino Explosion in Singapore, right? And really, it forced, I'm saying it boldly, and I've said it before on this show, it forced a lot of our local musos to also step up because the Pinoys were coming and they were great.
Yeah.
Right. And it was a good thing.
Yeah.
And nightlife was so vibrant.
Yeah.
You know, so amazingly vibrant. And I was smitten by all of that, you know.
Yeah.
And to me, guys like you guys, and to have met and also meeting soon, you know, a lot of people that I looked up to when I was younger, people who were quite influential for me. It all stemmed from guys like Dennis and what he's done, you know? And I think, in my opinion, he's top-notch in my book.
Well, you got to think. Sorry, you got to think. You just mentioned that article. And even after all the years, when was the last time Dennis actually operated in a space or anything?
Well, he's retired anyway.
He's been retired for ages. But still, they go back to the Oracle to ask his opinion on stuff. Mm-hmm. So that shows you how influential he is as a person. Yeah, yeah. And every time I see that name, I just think, wow, he was my boss. It makes me think, bloody hell, I learned so much from him.
You know, you use that term Oracle, man. I think that's so suitable for him.
Yeah.
Because it's so appropriate.
Really, if you think about, obviously, Stephen known him for God knows how long. I've known him for 18 years. Don't know how long Stephen's known him.
Yeah.
You know, and probably 118 years.
So what's missing? What's missing in Singapore's nightlife today, you guys? What do you think? Say it. Just say it, man.
I mean, the crowd has lessened a little bit, you know. All the older crowds that used to follow us, they don't go out no more.
Yeah, true.
They have parties at home or they have families. Say, I've retired. I gave up drinking, whatever, you know. So now it's a new trend. You know, it's a new batch of people, right? You know. And they only party like once, twice a month.
Right.
Not like before. They can come party every.
So do you think it's a cultural thing? You think it's a cultural thing? Or do you think it's a question of cost?
I was just going to say, I actually think one of the biggest things is the bloody cost.
Yeah.
Of course, it's just ridiculous, as that article itself says.
Yeah.
Even for myself, obviously, I'm at my own bar.
Yeah,
okay, so I don't have to spend money at my bar because it's my bar, so I drink for free, right?
Right.
So I drink for free, but going home, I tell you what my taxi was last night, $64 to go home.
Holy crap.
I mean, of course, I did the premiere one, otherwise I'll be sitting there for 20 minutes waiting for home, right?
Yeah, you got $64. The premiere one's fine, yeah.
But even if it wasn't $64, it's going to be $40. So if I go to my bar 5 days a week, that's 4, 8, 12, 16, it's $200 a week just to take a taxi home. So times that by a month, that's 2, 4, 6, it's $800 a month.
So from the consumer's perspective, what you're saying is that from the consumer's perspective, it is about cost for them in terms of transportation, in terms of cost of cover charge, the cost of the booze they buy.
I think a lot of places, do they still do cover charges?
Not much.
I think a lot of people have dropped the cover charge.
I don't know. I don't party anymore.
No more covers.
Well, there you go. You should answer the bloody question. Why don't you go out?
I don't go out because, okay, I tell you frankly, I don't, not that I don't want to. I would love to.
Mm.
Hang on. Huh? Let me qualify this. No. Really. I'm not saving my ass. I mean, I really don't give a fuck. I'll see things the way it is. You know? I'll call a spade a spade, you know, so don't worry about that. You'll get everything clean out for me. First, today, well, it started a couple of years ago, and I realized that in this country, we're only seeing, where bands are concerned, two-piece, three-pieces.
True. Well, it's the money involved.
Well, yeah. I understand. I understand that. So because bar owners, club owners, but I never forgive the hotels for this shit because they've got money.
Yeah.
And it's their P&L they're looking at, you know. But bar owners, you know, I can understand. you bring in two piece, three piece. And, you know, people like me, we grew up with five piece, yeah. at least on average, five piece. We get right. a five piece right. band. We get big sound.
You've got you to know? Think, I think Stephen and I don't know if there's a record, but I reckon in probably all of Singapore history, I reckon we had the biggest band.
Oh, yeah. yeah.
Really? yeah. How big was that?
In Bellini, we got, what, nine piece?
Oh, crap.
Nine piece, just a band.
yeah.
Schooling singers, huh?
Yeah, plus three singers. then Bellini Grande.
Bellini Grande is 33.
33 musicians.
Musicians
big
and
band.
Singers and dancers.
Yeah. So big band.
Yeah.
Wow.
So you can think, that, that's when I mentioned yeah. Dennis. Wow, talk about big balls to pull out something like that. You're talking about paying 40 people a night.
Full orchestra.
Yeah, we had an orchestra. I mean, who has an orchestra every night?
String like, players and everything.
You're such a lucky man, you know, because you sang in that big band, right?
I mean, we opened. Everybody remembers Bellini Grande. Actually, they don't really remember Grande that much. They remember Shanghai Dolly. But you got to think, before it was Shanghai Dolly, we were the buggers that opened it.
There's one something I've yet to check off my bucket list, you know, singing with a big band.
Oh,
I've always wanted to do that.
Let's do it.
We should do it. We should arrange it.
Lucky guy, man.
Those things are so rare to be able to do. In fact, I still do now because there's the Summertime's Big Band and the other one? Thompson's, right?
I still
sing. I'm the lead singer for Summertime, so I still get to do that.
Well,
it's such a lovely thing.
I've watched Summertime once. They were on one of my shows, and they were the band for one of my gigs. It was years ago. There's this guy named Dale. Right?
Yeah, Dale. Used to come and play in the horn section with us every now and then when he was younger, before the other businesses and everything else he's done as well. Yeah, but Dale used to come and sit in for...
Yeah. Well, there's something I have yet to check off my bucket list, so there's something I really want to do sooner or later. But anyway, coming back to the topic. So for the consumer, it's cost. For the bar owner and the club owner, it's also cost. So everything has got to do with the demise, I can dare say, demise of our night scene is cost. Can we just boil it down to that? And then coming back to my justification.
Even for club owners, you know, it's all the budget. You know, they need to cut down. That's why you see two-piece, three-piece.
Because of rents.
And even the hotel I'm working at, you know, Dow by Dorset.
Yeah.
You know, now we got three-piece. Last year was just two-piece, two nights. But now we cut down to one night a week, but three-piece.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It's just like
it's balancing,
need to balance up. You know?
But you know what's interesting? Now that you said this, what's interesting is, you know Mel's place?
Yeah.
Oh, the guys are playing there all the time, right? Or the guys from Tengen Club. I keep seeing all the time. Yeah.
So Leonard, that's right. Leonard Dudley and Gerard and sometimes Jeff Fonseca. They perform there, I think, Friday nights.
Yeah.
Thursday night would be Supernova. A bunch of young... No, they're not yet. Compared to us, they're young.
what do you mean compared to us? I'm only 12.
Different Thursdays. And GMT with Sean DeMello.
Yeah, GMT and with Sean. I work with them a lot because I do some stuff at Tanglin as well every now and then.
So we're playing Saturdays.
Tanglin Club this week, actually.
Okay. So, see, that's the thing. I'll come to that later, the country clubs and the recreational clubs. So Mel's place, I'm going to say this on air.
Eurasian, right?
I've never been there.
No, it's you.
I don't know where it is.
Yeah.
I don't I don't know where it is, actually.
It's in Katong.
Just at the corner.
Near Lorong Stangi in Katong. So I will tell you this because I'm a Katong boy, so I will tell you. You say Eurasian community, right? Mm. Actually, yes, you're right. But mostly the people who used to party every weekend at 57 Chevy that had to close down because it was unblocked.
Yeah.
Right? And it was sad because it was really a great community. And I was there. I'm there with my wife every Friday night, you know, partying. Not boosted like dead, but we're really having a great fun time. Band was great because Dad's Life played there.
Right.
The late Jerry LaChica played there with Chicago. Yes. Right. And it was great music, man. Great DJs, great music, great company. People were great. And it's safe. Everyone knows each other. So that group of people, the customers, you now find them at Mel's place.
Wow.
Why? you see, this is where I want to, I'm saying this because I want to make a point.
You're not taking me out of retirement, are you? There's no way I'm singing 6 days a week again. You can shove that one.
Do it once a week would be quite nice, isn't
once
it?
Once a week, yeah? I don't mind, but no, 6 days.
But the point is that when Mel's plays, they were really quiet.
Mm.
Business was really quiet for a long time.
Yeah.
Until somebody had the bright idea of, let's try a band.
Mm.
Now, I can tell you this much, just last week I was there, right? So they got the band in, and then the crowd grew. Then they started Thursday night, we have band. Friday night, we have bands. Saturday night, we have a band. All different bands. Last Friday, when I was there, they just changed the sound systems to accommodate for a band.
Wow. So they're prepared to spend the money on it.
So because something's working, right?
Yeah.
And the place is packed. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, packed. Doesn't matter whether...
So they got to hire us for Wednesday night.
Yeah, when are we coming? I just said I wasn't going back to work.
So, but then it just shows, right, that if you've got good bands playing, people come.
But I think you've true. Just kind of picked the nail on the head there, is that it's good bands. And I'm not saying that all places that have other bands are there not good bands. I'm not picking between bands. I'm not saying this one's crap and this one's good. But if you've got bands that really can perform, and they've got a following and they can do something. Like Sean is great. That's Life is great. I've seen these guys, you know, these aren't young boys as well, you know. That's Life is not young. Sean's bloody 2 years older than me.
Don't tell Leonard that.
No, but you know what I'm saying, right? They can put on a show, man.
Oh, yeah, they can.
And people come for the show.
Yeah.
And
old school, huh?
Old school. Yeah. I think old is gold. You've got to look at some of the young ones now. Yeah, they're great musicians. They've probably been to Berkeley and studied.
They don't have followers.
And you know, my biggest.
That's most important today.
Yeah.
My biggest bugbear?
Yeah.
What's my bloody biggest fucking thing that I hate the most about a singer on stage?
Yeah.
Fucking iPads.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
You and I can really have a long conversation about that.
You have a bloody iPad there and you're reading the lyrics.
Yep.
You're not
interacting with the audience.
It's a waste of bloody time. You might as well sit at home and sing KTV to yourself.
Yeah, right. I agree.
I hate that shit. One of the things that really fucks me off, actually. Yeah. Sorry, as a 50-year-old.
Thank goodness I hate on that. The keyboards.
You can cheat.
It's like I'm reading the score.
Yeah, you can cheat.
No. It's not lyrics, it's scores. It's all
scores.
I mean, you got to think, don't get me wrong. Yeah. Basket. You've got to think, you know, all these big stadium shows and everybody, you think they don't read lyrics? Of course they do. They have teleprompters.
Yeah, teleprompters in the ground.
But they have them enough away so you can glance if you need it. But not bloody standing in your face.
That's reference. It's only for references.
It's just to click your memory just in case, but not bloody
standing.
When we standing.
Do big shows, we have teleprompters.
Yeah.
You know, say, the song, I just learned it. I need the lyrics. Yeah. Don't worry.
Or you know the funniest thing I do? He always says to me, bloody hell, man, you're old. He says that to me a lot. Anyway, bloody hell, you're old. You know what I do? I get a piece of paper, I put it in the printer, I print it out and I stick it on the floor in front of the monitor.
Yeah.
So no one's ever going to see. I can look at the floor, no one ever going to notice. But there's no bloody way I'm having an iPad.
I've done that before too.
People know now.
Yes, shit. I've been lying for all these years.
I've done that before too, man. Yeah. On the floor monitors, right? Yeah. I did that before. Yeah. I said, shit's a new song. And then you print out the font, make sure it's larger than the biggest.
Especially for me, because I'm blind as a bat. The font is like that.
You know, I thought I was alone, man, in this shit, man.
No, I do exactly.
Thanks for the confession.
I don't mind.
Thanks for the confession.
I don't mind confessing I'm old. Don't get me wrong. I'm 50 in 3 weeks. I cannot believe I'm 50 in 3 weeks.
You're not old. You're still young compared to me.
Age is lateral, right?
You're going to be 50, right?
Yeah.
You're still 49, right? You still got a 4 in front of you, in front of your age, right?
But yeah.
I'm going to be 55 in April, mate.
Oh, fucking hell.
Wow.
There's no hope. I'd give up now.
I'm not quitting, man.
No,
I'm not quitting, man. I'm still going to go on as long as I can, man. Doing shit like this.
Yeah.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoy this. I really do. Anyway, I was telling you just now.
How many subscribers do you have now? Right.
Coming close to 70,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
He started
off. God, that's
like,
70,000 people is going to be listening to me and you.
Can't we started off this thing.
They must be bloody bored.
Seven, just under 10. Say, shit. I need more subscribers. Come on, come on. Today is 70,000. Congratulations.
Yeah, pretty soon we'll be hitting 70,000. Pretty soon, yeah. In the next couple of days, we will hit 70,000. Right. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. For sure.
Well done. It's probably going to be 65,000 now that they've heard us sing fucking Fly Me to the Moon. It's gone that way.
But the audience is not just local. The audience would be Indonesians, from Indonesia, Philippines, Malaysia, Singapore.
Yeah. Oh, wow, that's cool.
Yeah, yeah. So it's regional. So.
Hello to all those places. You've probably never heard of me, but anyway.
Elvis.
Yeah, yeah, you've heard of Elvis, though.
Hey, man, Elvis, man. I mean, what can we do without? If not for Elvis, we wouldn't have a job.
No, that's true, actually.
That is true, man. You know, music wouldn't be what it is.
You know, I played at Graceland twice.
I hate you.
1997 and 2002.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. You and I got to do some Elvis together.
Yeah. No, I still have this massive fascination with Elvis. When I was really young, it was really huge. You know, you go through phases of people, and Elvis was one that I was just really demented about.
Right.
And I think there's a lot of his character that I think I've nicked a bit. I mean, I think all musicians do. We all laugh about the Rod Stewart thing. I nicked the bloody this out of that. I think all musicians, you steal something from somewhere else.
We mirror people.
Yeah, you mirror people because you admire them, or there's something you watch and you think, oh, that's really cool. And then by accident, you end up kind of doing that yourself.
Yep.
But Elvis was really one of the first ones I just thought, I'd just never seen anything like it.
Mm-hmm.
And that career, so many people really, they fail to understand that Elvis was 42 when he died.
Yeah.
And a 20-year career, in which case in Hollywood, he was the biggest paid star. I mean, it's just the things are dementing about what he achieved in 20 years.
Yeah, crazy.
It's quite mental. Yeah. A lot of people, they don't see that. I think a lot of youngsters nowadays, because, oh, that's old person's music, they won't research that person. There's so much to learn about old acts.
The biggest influence I've got, I mean, where singing is concerned.
I know it's me, but you don't have to tell me again.
It would have been you if you were 65 today.
Don't add another 15 years, please.
Okay, someone older than you cannot possibly be doing. Okay. No, actually, he's on Elvis as well because a lot of people don't know this. I got influenced by him when I was about 7. And at 10, I broke my voice deliberately. I went so hard on working on trying to sound like the guy as a kid, right? I remember when I was in primary 1 or 2 when I got on stage for the first time in my life and I sang, I discovered I'm tone freaking deaf. And I, you know, kids can be mean, right? And back then in 1977, you know, kids, you get really teased, really insulted. And I told myself, never again would that happen. I'll either run away from this or do something about it, right? So I loved Elvis. So I just kept practicing his songs. By the time I was 10, I broke my voice. Then I could do Heartbreak Hotel.
Yeah.
Then I could do I Want You, I Need You, I Love You. And it went on from there. And then in 95, the then TCS, now MediaCorp, came a calling. And they did a feature on me on the Channel 8 program, 成人雜誌. There are two features, one on something else, on I can't remember what, but on me, it was an entire full day filming. Came to my home, was in my car filming me driving, then eventually doing a show.
Driving at 10 years old?
No, la.
No, 1995.
Oh, sorry.
Keep up, Bosky.
I was 25.
He's getting on a bit. He's getting on a bit. I know he is.
Yeah. All of a sudden, you got your timelines all warped. Yeah.
So, and I'm the one drinking the wine.
Yeah, I'm wondering about that too, man. Okay, we haven't asked him his age yet.
Official secret.
And, you know, and then after I did the feature on me, right, and all the Elvis shows started coming in. Very, very, very massive influence Elvis was. And there's no way I can say that.
Question, this is an interesting one.
Yeah.
Your favorite Elvis song? Because there's so many.
You really want to know, huh? I would like to know. You won't believe this.
Go on, shock me.
Don't Cry Daddy.
Oh, Don't Cry Daddy is a great song.
That's my favorite Elvis song.
So can I tell you something really that you'll just probably want to punch me?
Okay, what?
Okay, so I think it was the first time I went, so I think it was 97. At the Memphis Pyramid.
Yep.
That was the first time they ever did the hologram of Elvis with the original band.
Okay.
And I was there as part of that thing to do the thing. And that's one of the ones that he sung with Lisa Marie Presley.
So yeah.
She sang live and he did the thing.
Yeah,
it was the original 70s band and everything else.
Right.
And I saw that at the Memphis Pyramid. Mm. I hate you. I told you you're going to hate me. Wow. Yeah, and because it was they isolated his vocal. It's the first time anybody had done this thing. They isolated his vocal, so all of the original bands played, mm-hmm. and his vocal was isolated from recordings that they had, and other people sang along live, as if he was still alive in the room. It was kind of the most incredible thing I've ever seen.
I'm going to move us away from Elvis for a bit because I want to ask Stephen this question. I know for a fact, okay, the first time I saw you, I hope my memory serves me correctly. But did you ever play in this bar in Novotel Orchid Inn called Cheers?
Cheers. No.
No.
Nah, I can't remember. Not that I can recall. I don't think so, no.
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 Okay. But I remember there was a keyboard player who sang that everyone calls Boy.
That's him.
That's me.
Yeah.
But not in Cheers. I don't think.
Maybe I can't remember the place I saw you.
Yeah.
Maybe I couldn't remember. Back to Elvis again.
And that was a long time ago. Mm. I think that was in the early 90s, probably.
Okay.
Yeah. And why did people call you Boy?
Because I'm the youngest in the family.
But
I started real young.
Outside of your family? Age of
11.
Yeah, but outside of your family. People call you Boy.
People who knows me since young all call me Boy.
Yeah. It's weird. I always call him Boss because I didn't know him.
Yeah, yeah. Then the other side of people that I've also encountered besides Bob.
I always call him Boss. It's very weird.
Colin Young calls you Boss.
Mm, I don't know.
Quite a number of people call you Boss as well.
Because I give them jobs.
Yeah. Because he's always fucking bossing me about.
Okay. Okay, so you guys came together exactly today, 18 years ago.
That's amazing.
I know, that's really weird. Yeah. I remember when you told me the date, I remember thinking, okay, now you can't be serious. And in the taxi on the way here.
No, it was him.
Yeah. It's so weird that you.
So weird.
Yeah.
It just so happened to be.
Yeah. Exactly.
I didn't buy 4D today. Yeah. Okay, so 18 years ago. And then the last 18 years, man. But I'm saying the two of you are like that epic bromance, you know?
Everyone always says that, but it's kind of true.
And I
must be honest, it's kind of true. From two people that bloody hated each other, it's quite ridiculous that we love each other today.
So let's continue the story from there.
Because the chemistry of we both working together is so strong that, you know, we know what's going to come next.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's a song or what we're going to say.
So like telepathy,
You know, a little bit.
Like, it's kind of weird.
Yeah.
You know, everything just fits in together. It's amazing.
Okay. Yeah.
Everyone says that, man. Melford has told me almost the same thing, that he and his brother, right, Joe?
Yeah.
And there's also like telepathy, you know, when they perform on stage. So you two guys have actually managed to grow that chemistry.
I think the funny thing is and you'll probably see this when you watch this back or I don't know how you edit things or whatever you do, is the way that we bounce off each other.
Yeah.
It's very strange. We've got a very similar sense of humor.
Mm.
He's also got quite a dark sense of humor.
Okay.
And sometimes he says things. I say to him, fucking hell, boss, you can't say that. You know, it was the things I would want to say and think, shit, Rob, don't do that. And he'll be the one that would do it.
So as time went by,
I look at him like that.
As time went by, you guys hate each other, but as time went by, what happened? What happened to make that whole thing ironed out?
He won't remember.
Yeah.
He won't remember, but I will remember because I will never ever forget this moment because it's the moment that changed my.
Rob's about to cry.
No.
I can see tears in your eyes.
No, I'm only crying because my wine's running out. Can I get a top up? That's a good idea. No, seriously. Like I say, we've got this seriously dark sense of humor between each other.
I really don't believe this, man.
But
walks out of the studio
to get me wine.
To get you more wine.
Oh my God.
No, but this is really, 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 really completely true. I was sitting, do you remember downstairs from the entrance to Mavida? There used to be the outside bar thing. Mm-hmm. I can't remember what they,
okay.
It's like beer corner or something like that. I can't remember the bloody name. Yeah. And we just finished a night. I think it was a Saturday or something. It had been a really busy one. And I think we'd had a really good night in Bellini Room itself. It had been busy. Boss had been in, Dennis had been in, Andrew had been in, everyone saying, wow, this is great. And I remember you coming down to me. And I was sitting there. I was sitting there having a beer, which is very unusual. I don't even drink beer anymore. I drink wine, though. Thank you. I was sitting there, and I remember you coming up behind me in a nice fashion, not a horrible fashion, and saying to me, hey, man.
You don't want to get drunk.
There's a lot of wine. No,
you just need a goldfish in that bowl. No, I remember, I always do his accent. Hey, man. Hey, man. I remember coming up behind me and said, hey, man, tonight really good. Just wanted to tell you, you finally got it. And then he walked off, and I just thought, oh, I guess we're going to be friends now then. Literally, and so, I've never forgotten that.
So it's always, when you said you finally got it, you meant basically that he was not up to your standard.
But to be fair, I must be honest, I don't think I was up to his standard when I first started. I'd be really truthfully honest.
He's a foreigner, right?
Yeah.
And he doesn't know the local taste.
Yeah, I didn't get it.
Our local taste. I say you have to speak slower.
Yeah.
Because nobody fucking understand what the word you're saying. Because you speak saying,
yeah, you can imagine.
What the fuck? It's like, I say you got to slow down.
Yeah.
You know, speak slowly. Make sure everybody understands you and look at them and while you're talking to them and, you know, stuff like that.
Okay.
So, it's true though. I learned so much. If he hadn't have done it, I wouldn't have learned. And I think that's something funny between the pair of us.
Yeah.
I think we both broke each other's balls at some point. But between the pair of us, we understood that it was for my good, actually, to listen to what he was trying to teach me.
Mm. Right.
You know, and you should always learn. So you learn something every day, right?
Connect with the crowd. Oh, my God. After that.
Why?
It was just full house almost every night.
Every night. It was amazing.
Only Sunday.
Yeah.
Because we're close.
And I was at Tanjong Beach. And it wasn't even called that then.
Yeah.
I was pissed on the beach.
So Rob, the Singapore audience then, from what you've experienced in the UK and elsewhere that you perform, how would you compare or describe the difference between the two? An international audience versus the Singapore audience.
That's a tough one. I think sometimes the Singapore audience is very difficult to engage because they are slightly a bit more reserved.
Numbnuts.
Yes.
We're a bit reserved. Right. But the moment you catch that, reservation, it all changes. It all changes. Right. And sometimes you've got to not be afraid to go out and just be a bloody idiot. I know that sounds stupid. Mm. Because if you just stand there and just do your thing, everyone's like, But if you really engage, like, over the top, then everybody really jumps in and enjoys it. Yeah. I mean, the things we
even
used to
come
do,
down and PR with them and stuff like that, you know, it gets you closer to them.
Yeah.
They feel like, oh, you're a friend already.
Yeah.
Let's go and see him again tomorrow.
Interesting, man. I'm comparing notes because same thing.
I think so many singers now, they sing, they do their thing. Like you say, sometimes two piece,
sit one corner,
blah, 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 sing, bugger off.
Yep.
No, I mean, you can imagine in our day, what did Dennis used to say to us all the time?
Activate, you know?
Get your bloody ass out there. You got to think.
You're almost drunk every night.
I was drunk nearly every night. Literally, it nearly fucking killed me for five years.
Plus, he's drinking my drink. Here you're up.
Yeah.
There you go.
Oh,
you know?
Dear.
Yeah. Oh, wow. No joke, seriously. There were times I used to go home just... I tell you one of the funniest stories.
Uh-huh.
One of the funniest... You know the auto barriers
for the car park.
There was one Sunday, I think it was. I woke up and thought, "Fuck, what's hit me on the head? I had a cut," and I couldn't work out. I thought, "Have I been in a fight?" No, I don't remember. I just didn't remember anything. Then about 2 weeks later, I was walking through, saw the bar, and thought, "Shit, I remember it hit me on the head." I was so drunk, the damn thing hit me, and I didn't realize. Honestly, we would start drinking at bloody 9 o'clock and finish drinking. I used to finish in Dragonfly at 5.
Yeah.
Oh, man. And every night.
Every night.
Yeah, because we finish our set, our last set.
It's amazing. I look so good, really.
2:45.
It's amazing.
AM in the morning, can you imagine?
Yeah.
And after that, we go for supper.
Yeah.
Right, right.
But today we don't see that anymore. No, there's, you know, there's, yeah. not
that type
like
of fun, lah.
But come on, the Chinese clubs don't close that late.
But come on, I mean, to me, it's like you don't have to booze to be a great performer anyway to get people going.
I do.
You're wrong. He needs the booze.
I do actually
to loosen up.
Yeah.
Some people do. I can't.
Yeah.
That's why
yeah.
I don't drink. I perform.
Neither do I.
You know.
I'll go silly. I still to this day have immense stage fright.
So he drink before he goes.
Rob Collins, stage fright.
Since
Now you know his secret, right?
Wait. Kai, play that video, please. Play the video. You talk about stage fright, hell. For fuck's sake.
Why am I doing that? One little song. Is that me drinking a drink?
It had to be you.
What is this? Just by the beach?
It had to be you.
Oh, you sound good there, boss.
I wandered around.
Does that mean?
Finally found somebody who.
What am I doing?
You're drinking.
Could make me be true. Could make me be
love. The beanies.
You're gonna kid, man.
Oh, no.
Could make me
be glad. Just to be sad.
Some others I see might never be me.
Oh, there's Bong there behind you.
Might never be boss, so try to be boss, but they wouldn't do.
So good, boss.
Steven Lucas.
Oh, nobody would give me a drink. But with all your gold and love, you're still. It had to be you, a wonderful you, and it had to be you.
Let's get horny, baby.
Stage fright, yeah, right. Come on, Rob.
That's because I'm probably a little bit pissed.
Belly dancer.
Where did you find this? I've never seen that before. I'm actually quite good. I should do that for a living.
That was at Sentosa.
Bloody hell, I don't even remember that.
Yeah, what are you talking about, stage fright, man? Seriously? Do you have stage fright, Stephen?
No, he doesn't.
No, you don't,
not really, yeah. Unless it's like a real huge, big show.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen you stage fright. He takes it all in his stride. He really doesn't. Without being rude, he doesn't really care. He gets up and puts his things and he's ready and off he goes. You know me, I'm like pacing around like.
Especially when you're in front.
Yeah,
I'm not on the keyboard, yes, I get a little bit.
Is this?
Stage fright, yeah.
Right. So if anyone were to ask two music veterans, how do you get past that?
I fucking hate that word. Even though it's true.
Okay. Two music oldies.
It gets better. I used to like you.
I mean, well, it's a nice term, man. Veterans, it shows a lot. It speaks a lot.
I know.
It's a lot of character.
It just
there.
Makes me feel bloody ancient. Mind you, I am fucking ancient, so it's okay.
You're the youngest amongst the three of us seated here, mate. Let me remind you. But anyway, again, what do you think? What's the magic behind getting past all that? You do eventually get past it as you get on.
The performance, the stage fright thing.
Yeah.
Stage fright for me is always a drink. It's always been. Yeah. I have a couple of glasses of wine and I'm ready.
Do a couple of songs and just get warmed up. And
you know what I'm like? And he knows me so well. Always my first two songs is probably really, I can say it right, wanky. It's probably not the best. I'm probably still a bit nervous trying to find out the sound and everything. Yeah. By song number three, that's it.
Yep.
And then 2 hours later, it's trying to get me off stage because I'm enjoying myself.
We've been actually talking for a bit, haven't we? Let me see now. Yeah, we
I'm
have
enjoying
been.
Myself, and you've got one, so it's great. Yeah. And I can see the rest of the bottle there, so it's cheering.
I'm just gonna scroll down to almost at the bottom of my set here. Rob,
Yep.
If you could give your younger self one piece of advice.
Fucking hell. Don't swear so much.
Don't drink.
What would it do?
No, I can't do that one. If I could give my younger self some advice, what would it be?
Yeah.
Maybe don't be so afraid of yourself.
What do you mean?
I think there's a lot within me that I don't realize.
Okay.
And I think a lot of other people see that and I don't see it. I'm always a very anxious person. He knows this. I'm the biggest worrier in the world. Like, I have the great Ivan Lim. What does Ivan always say to me?
Yeah.
In the mortal words of Mother Mary, yeah, let it be. That's what Ivan says to me all the time. He says, will you stop fucking worrying about everything? Because I am that type. I am a very anxious person. You know, people say is the glass half empty or the glass half full or whatever. I always see it as half empty when sometimes it's really full. And then there's days that I'm really quite buoyant and I look and just think, why, you've achieved so much, man. And you just don't realize. But I'm forever, yeah. I mean, this Friday coming, I'm singing 5 sets on Friday. I'm doing Asia Square and then with you at Tanglin, So. So I'm already anxious about that, which is just so stupid because it's something that I've been doing for so long.
Yeah, yeah.
So if I could teach myself something is maybe have a bit more confidence in myself.
Okay. It's so surprising, man.
I think that shocks a lot of people, actually, to everybody else, I'm like, what?
Surprises me.
I'm so, no, not at all. Inside, I'm like a little kid hiding in a corner.
Wow.
Basically, we are humble people.
Yeah.
Right?
Do you ever take yourself seriously? Yeah. I never take myself seriously. Really, the amount of times I've been on a beach somewhere and the people walk up to me and say, you're that guy that sings in Singapore. Yeah, I'm like, oh, yeah, hi. And my mum always says to me, fucking everywhere we go, you bump into somebody you know. Yeah. But I never take it seriously. It's just a job, isn't it, really?
You and me, just go here and there and say, hey, you're that guy, right?
I just have a laugh of it. Never take it seriously. The moment you take it so seriously, I think is your biggest downfall as well, because you end up like acting like a bloody prick.
Yeah. Ego gets as large as a barn door.
Can't be doing with that one.
Yeah. How about you, Stephen? What advice would you give your younger self, man?
Younger self?
Stay young.
I've been in this business for over 50 years.
I'm
54 this year. I'm 64 this year. Yeah. Well, I'm 64.
Are you really 64 this year?
64 this year.
No.
Yeah.
Are you really?
Oh, you think I still you're young, old basket. I see.
Fucking hell, I better start working out. I mean, how many gigs we got left? I'll have to replace you.
Well, I'm 64. You know,
wow.
I started at 12, so you can imagine how many years I've been in business already.
That's mental.
Yeah. Well, what,
are you really 64?
Well,
What advice would you give yourself? Anything. It doesn't have to be professional. Yeah. What would you have done? Would you have done anything differently, man?
I couldn't see myself doing anything else because, you know, I'm born in the music family.
Right.
You know, my dad was a musician, my brothers, my sister, you know. So everything's—it's all just music in the house, you know.
Right.
My brothers rehearse in the house. My sister rehearse. Myself, my father say, "Hey, listen to this song, practice, whatever, but you know." So just play.
A lot of people don't realize that Stephen plays drums. He orchestrates. He reads music. He writes music. He plays piano. He does this. He does so much. A lot of people just think he plays. He plays piano and sings a bit, but fucking hell, he does everything.
That photo that I was playing drums when I was 8.
Right.
You know, I started playing the drums. And I say to myself, I sing. How am I going to accompany myself?
Like Phil Collins.
Yeah, you need a band with you all the time, right?
Yeah.
So I picked up the guitar and say, hey, not bad. I could play and sing.
Actually, I've never asked you, how did you find your voice? I mean, I know you love Stevie Wonder. We always laugh about that one, but there must be other people.
Why do you laugh about that?
No, because we've got people. No, nothing. I'm not saying that. But it's like because we say Stephen and he sings that Stevie Wonder song so nice. And he has this very unique tone.
Yeah, it's unique.
Voice.
His tone is very unique.
His tone of voice.
My father threw the song to me and said, listen to the song and see if you can sing this song. It was Solomon King.
Oh, wow.
She Wears My Ring. Mm. It was my first ever song. I put the record and on and just sing along with it. Oh, she wears my ring, da, 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 you know. And then there was Neil Reed. Remember Neil Reed?
Yeah,
I did. British singer. You know, such. Do you know
Neil Reed? No,
you're too young to know.
Well, thanks.
What you're trying to say is I'm bloody old then.
No, because Neil Reed is an English
singer. Yeah, yeah.
He's a little young boy, you know. And then from there, we grew up and then we got the Jackson 5.
Right.
Michael Jackson. That's how I get
into the black. You used to always sing stuff. Ben.
Yeah.
That used to Motown be his song.
That's how the Motown stuff
yeah.
Came do some Ben. Do some Ben, boss. Oh, do some Ben. Do you remember the key?
And the two of us.
Not in that key anymore.
Yeah, so
Ben.
Yeah, so the Motown and the soul stuff came to me. And
yeah.
And then came, you know, that there was Stevie Wonder. I said, wow, you know?
Yeah.
So that's how it all got started.
But know? It seems that when you pick up an instrument, you seem you're able to just play it straight away.
Yeah.
Is
basically,
it?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah. And I actually picked up the flute as well. And I tried the trumpet, but I didn't like because it hurts my glands, you know, blowing too hard. I said, oh, shit, no.
He hates blowing too hard.
Blowing too hard.
That's his job on Saturday nights.
I do
a better blow job than you.
Oh boy.
Not me.
Oh boy.
Chris
can kiss goodbye to any sponsors and advertisers. Sorry. Really, kiss goodbye to making some money, man.
So there's flute and then the guitar. I say guitar, okay, but then the guitar hurts my fingers, you know, the tip of my fingers.
I used to get that too, actually.
Yeah, I say, wow. So I say, let's try the piano, you know. So I love the piano. And my auntie was a teacher. So I went to my auntie, learned some classical stuff, read music a little bit. And then from then on, I found, classical is boring, you know. And then I took my classical piece and jazzed it up, you know, played into a pop style, kind of like Vanessa Mae, classical stuff into pop.
So can I tell you something?
Yeah.
You're going to love this.
Yeah.
My first producer that I ever worked with produced Vanessa Mae
really?
Stuff.
Wow.
Andy Hill.
Oh, yeah.
My original manager in the UK is her uncle.
Wow.
Yeah, Andy Hill. He produced Vanessa Mae's all of
really?
And Think Twice by Celine Dion and all the Bucks Fizz stuff.
Yeah.
The great Andy Hill, if anybody were. Andy, if you're out there, I haven't seen you for a while.
Oh, wow. Amazing.
So how is it that you could pick up an instrument and just play it straight away?
I think it's gifted.
Yeah,
I know that.
Thank you.
Well, how do you agree,
because he is
what
very
went
gifted.
Through your mind when you do that, man? I mean, I'm just trying to, I'm trying to feel that, you know. Okay, you see an instrument, you pick it up, and straight away you could play it.
Yeah, because I've seen my brothers and his bandmates play.
I mean, you need to know. Would anyone who would say, for example, you started with the drums, then after that, maybe you went to keyboard.
Because my brother plays drums.
Yeah,
my eldest brother, he plays drums. So from there, just pick it up, right?
Yeah, I know.
Guitar
this is the thing.
As well. Those days, there's no YouTube.
Right.
You know, you can't learn from YouTube and teach you, hey, which fingers, which strings to play, right?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so everything is just self-taught.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm always amazed by people like that. You know, like Stephen. And you just pick something up and straight away you could just manipulate the whole damn thing.
It's a God-given talent, isn't it? I find it very difficult to do anything like that. Literally, apart from my voice, my musicality is bugger all.
Can you read? Can you read music?
I mean, I can read a small amount from piano lessons that I had and guitar lessons that I had stuff like that. But only a small amount. The only thing I would say, and he always says this to me, and Ivan always says the same, I've got a very good ear.
Mm.
So I can always tell.
Yeah, he's got a good pitch.
I've got a really good pitch.
Mm-hmm. You know, I changed the key of his song. I said, that's not my key. And then I look again and say, oh, yeah, shit.
Yeah.
I forgot.
So that which is ridiculous because I've never had really any music stuff.
Right.
But my ear is
no,
very
he
good.
Just feels.
Wow.
You know, once he's not comfortable in hitting the first note, oh, that's not my key. He knows straight away. Right?
So, which is a weird thing because I've got no musicality.
Yeah.
In theory, in terms of him, obviously, we're chalk and cheese.
Yeah, chalk and cheese. But you make it work because you have gifts too. You can tell whether or not you're in pitch or not in pitch, whether you're in key or not in key.
Well, so that's how it works. Obviously, he's a great musician of everything else. I've got a good idea sometimes of what I'm doing. And actually, I think I'm quite a good front man. I think I'm still quite a good front. I'm pretty good at that one. That's one thing that I can pull off. I, you know, That's quite.
Yeah, I mean,
interesting.
I've seen you perform.
It's not just singing. You gotta
entertain. Yeah,
you gotta entertain. It's not the easiest job. I find this that is the hardest.
Sometimes get off the stage, man, and get into the audience. Yeah.
Wow, you're just to be part of everybody else. Yeah. It's quite a daunting thing.
So, for Stephen, what's the one thing you're most worried about in the future?
Losing my voice.
Oh yeah.
Mm. Rob, you feel the same?
Most definitely.
Losing fingers,
I haven't changed keys much.
Yeah.
Every now and then.
Our range, as we go older, our range just drops a little. You know, like half a key. Maybe some songs is just like one tone down.
Yeah, semitone down. And
Yeah.
As we go older,
we can't hit that high pitch like
used to. Yeah, strange, man. You know, when I was in my 20s, right? Besides Elvis, I used to do, believe it or not, I used to do Bee Gees.
Oh, wow.
Alone. And I used to have this because I saw Gino Sunga, hi Gino.
Yeah.
I saw his routine years ago and I copied that routine for private gigs. You know, Endless Love, right? Diana Ross.
And I
was a lot slimmer then, not younger. and one side makeup with a long wig.
Really? Oh, bloody hell, you used to do that?
Yeah. I used to do the left and right.
Ah, yeah, Gino. Used to do.
And I used to do Endless Love alone.
Yeah.
And I could hit falsettos like no one's business.
Wow.
I used to do Tragedy, Staying Alive.
Mm.
Right? I used to do all that.
Yeah. But
guess what? Effortlessly today, no way.
Mm.
I've lost my falsetto. Yeah. I can't go there anymore, man. You made me feel brand new, Sidesticks. Mm. I used to do it like water. Now, no, it's gone.
Yeah,
just can't do it anymore.
One of the best singers of that song. I love that song. One of the best singers of that song is the great Mick Hucknall from Simply Red.
Oh, Simply Red.
Who does that song in full voice? He doesn't even use falsetto.
Yeah.
I mean, Simply Red, bloody
red-headed.
Hell.
Mick Hucknall. Man United fan, massive Man United fan. Sometimes he's in the box.
We'll
say Alex Ferguson.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And at Old Trafford. Yeah, Mick Hucknall. So, you're right. I'm also afraid of losing my voice, man. Yeah. It terrifies me.
I don't know. I think in some ways it's some kind, it's sometimes a little bit nice that you are kind of getting a little bit older, that your voice changes a bit.
Yeah.
When I saw Tom Jones last March, actually, most of his stuff was original keys. A lot of it wasn't, but his voice, his presence and everything was just still so amazing to watch. And we saw Rod the week after. Oh. I mean, I still love Rod. Does he sound the same as he did years ago? Of course he bloody doesn't, but he's 80 years old. Does he put on a great show and does he still belt it out? Yeah.
Elton John, the same.
Elton sounds a bit shouty now. It sounds a bit like that. It's not so much singing, it's more shouting a bit. But yeah, I mean, I guess your voice just, it's like your body, isn't it?
There's
only so much you can look after it.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. And it's scary, and I agree. So what are you looking forward to in the future? For both of you,
more gigs,
lots of sex.
That's you.
No, my
sex life is over.
Hi, Emily.
I've done that, been there since I was 12. So you know, my wife's up.
You've been having sex since you were 12.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
We are not trustworthy to be on a podcast.
Oh boy! This show is getting a bit out of hand, man.
I don't know. What are you looking forward to? I'll tell you what I'm looking forward to with him.
Healthy.
If I'm really honest.
What I'm looking forward to with him is
I still want to do a 50th birthday concert this year.
Oh.
Wow.
Yeah. Too late, man.
No, even if it's after my birthday, it's still my 50th year.
I'd
like to do that with Stephen. I really would love to do that.
I've got a booking.
If we can find a nice venue and a nice place.
I'd love to do that. But it's a Sunday.
Send me the invite.
I don't think you want to do it.
Right? Send me the invite.
It's got to be the right day, the right time. We can't seem to find the right thing.
Okay, I'm going to say this again in case it gets lost in this conversation, send me the invite.
Yeah. Of course.
Otherwise, I'll play back this part
over and over again.
Yeah.
Of course, the invite is there. No, that's what I'd really like to do this year. And
you should, yeah.
And getting addressed is kind of being healthy and
it's the most important.
So now,
if you're not healthy, how are we going to go up on stage?
So you still want to continue doing this for as long as you can?
As long as I can, as long as I can still stand and, voice still going, why not?
As I say, Rod Stewart's playing Glastonbury this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Glastonbury. 81. Wow. 81. Yeah. 81. Bloody Glastonbury. Man.
Tom Jones.
Tom Jones. Tom Jones is doing another world
Johnny tournament. Johnny Mathis.
Yeah.
What?
87.
Johnny Mathis is.
Have you seen his hair, though? What happened there?
Oh, my God.
What happened to his hair?
He's so growing long. His hair out. It's all white. Yeah, white.
And he's so old. You didn't see that
man.
Video?
Johnny
I need
Mathis,
to send you the
man.
Video.
But the, can he still sing?
Yeah, I can still sing.
Johnny Mathis, man. Yeah. I mean, oh, wow.
And then you've got to think, one of my favorites of all time, I met him twice, and I saw him numerous times, the great Tony Bennett. You know, is it 2 years since Tony passed? I think it's 2 years.
Yeah,
he was 94 and still performing almost to the end.
And when he had Alzheimer's, right?
Even with Alzheimer's.
Yeah, and the moment the piano starts playing, all that goes away.
He just wakes up and he sings. He was such a lovely man. When I met him here in Singapore, I've got a lovely picture with me and him. Yeah, and I've got this little grey jacket on. And I walked in, he had the yellow jacket on. And the first thing he said to me was, "Wow, your jacket's much nicer than my jacket. Come and stand with me." So, and I was just like, Tony Bennett just spoke to me. I just want to pass out. I just like, what do you do when you meet people like that? They're fucking legends, to
legends,
be fair.
Man,
I mean, really.
Come
really,
on,
really.
Man. Legends, man. I mean, Tony Bennett, Mike. Yeah. That man has pipes, man. He's got pipes.
I just cannot believe that I managed to meet him.
American actor.
I hate you.
I've got a few more going if you want. I've got a few stories. How long have you got? Go on. Get more wine out.
19, they're all still performing.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah.
Only the Asians, I don't know, people just can't seem to accept when we are too old. I don't know. Hopefully it changes.
Hey, but then you got to look at Uncle Lewis. We should give Uncle Lewis a big... I'd love to.
Let me qualify again. I did ask him. I asked him last season to come on. First of all, he can't remember me.
Okay.
Which I find very sad.
Basket.
and then he said, "Don't know, like Chris, my time is up." And it's talk to those who are younger. You know,
Lewis always says things
and
like
I
that.
Don't want
He's also somebody that doesn't take himself so seriously, which I find so fucking ironic for somebody.
I love
that
Lewis's
is so brilliant.
Scatting is brilliant.
Oh my God,
man.
Amazing.
Scatting is ridiculous, But I did ask him. Of course I asked him. I asked quite a number of guys. I'm not going to mention names, though, but they just didn't want to and I don't understand why. Yeah, but I think it's important because
he's a little bit slow walking.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe you have to ask someone to go pick him up.
Yeah.
Say, can I arrange for someone?
I mean,
things like that.
He really didn't want to.
Yeah.
And I could sense it straight away.
He's quite a quite quiet person when it comes to those things. He doesn't always like the limelight, which is quite funny for somebody that likes the limelight.
Yeah. The reason why I started this tribute show and want to continue doing it is because I really think that it's sad for musos that have done so much for so little sometimes, you know. For so many years, especially, and not be forgotten. Mm. I just feel it's sad, you know. And when I've asked quite some people, like I said, some people I really would love to have on the show, but they just don't want to come on, and I don't get it. And I just feel it's that your name's gonna come out again. You know, it's got to be there somehow. And if I can do my little bit, my little part, I'll do it.
Yeah, no, it's fair.
You know?
It's super nice to be asked to do these things. But I think for me, I don't know how Stephen feels, but for me, I think even if I wasn't remembered, the memories I have myself, I will remember myself. So I'd be very proud of what I've done, even if other people don't remember me.
You and I have a connection somehow. You know why not? Because that's my final question, actually.
Oh, well.
But before I go to that,
I'm good at this.
Yeah, it's really strange. So this is like the third time we said something that's connected to
really,
things I want to talk about. Little boys. What the fuck's that? Can we flash that on the screen, please?
Yeah.
What's that?
Okay, so two little boys. It's very funny. It's very funny. I have to tell you the truth, and he's going to get a shout out now. So Kenneth Stew, the great Funkman DJ, we had a business together, our first bar that we opened in Boat Quay.
Right.
Kenneth and I still work together on different projects and different things, and we've been mates forever. But he came up with the name from Rolf Harris.
Okay.
But this was before Rolf Harris got kind of arrested for child molestation. So two little boys is the and sometimes I say, "Oh, two little boys," and people go, "Oh, okay." But it's too late to change the bloody company name. But that's where it came from, because it was me and Ken at the time.
So this business, this is a business. Yep. For the bar business.
So actually, it's a concert thing. It runs entertainment, it runs stuff, and it runs obviously Dorothy's. But it's also, I bring in shows and entertainment acts and all different things. So it's it's like a two-pronged thing.
Right. So Two Little Boys are still in existence. It's still in business.
Of course, yeah.
Right. Can we flash it up one more time, please? Okay, people. This is the business that Rob Collins has. It's called Two Little Boys, Music and Entertainments. And I don't know why entertainment actually ended up with an S at the end.
Entertainment.
It's plural.
Because there's more entertainment.
Oh, no, come
I've
on.
Got so much entertainment to give you.
Come on, dude. It's supposed to be singular. It's not plural, man. It's entertainment, not entertainment.
Trust the Brits.
Yeah.
I was about to go there.
My bloody language, and I still fucked it up.
And he's a Brit, man. He got his English wrong.
Exactly.
More wine, please. More wine, please.
What you said just now, Rob, what you said just now, you know, about being remembered, right? I have it here. It's my final question. This is the final question, okay? For the both of you, what's the one thing you like to be remembered for?
Bloody hell. You go first.
Funny you mentioned that. Really, isn't it weird, man? Yeah.
As you know, I started a real early age, so people remember me from back then till now. I've always been very humble. You know, I don't brag much, you know.
Stephen, let me just put it another way, okay?
No egos.
What's going to be written on the epitaph on your, you know what I mean? In Chinese New Year, I'm not gonna say too much, but you know what I mean.
Jesus Christ.
Just sum it up.
I've been in Singapore.
Sum it up, man. You know, what would you like to have on your epitaph? You know what I mean? Where people, there's something that you want to be remembered for. But fuck the humility aside for a minute, will you? And just deep down
Stephen
in your heart.
Boy Francis, great guy, great singer.
Oh, what a nice thing. That's lovely.
Okay.
Right. Don't I want to kiss you now. That's great. That's great.
Oh, gosh.
That's quite sweet. That's
this great. Bromance is getting too epic, man. Too epic, man. This
18
bromance.
Years. 18, 18 years.
18 years.
How about you, Rob? What epitaph do you see, man? He who drinks too much.
No.
He who got knocked by a car park barrier.
I would say, don't like a flame near here. In case I take the old building down. No, I don't know. Nothing. Well, it was fun.
So you wanted...
That's what I would just say.
It was fun.
It was fun.
Okay.
That about...
Yeah, so basically...
Fuck it, right? It was fun.
So am I right? To sum it up for you, right? It's going to be like... it's something like... Rob Collins is remembered for always having a great time and always fun to be around with.
Yeah, that's quite a nice thing, I guess.
Yeah?
I'm not always sure I'm always fun to be around with. I could be a right bastard at times, but... Yeah, just I think in theory it was fun. I mean, I fundraise so much now for, you know, from the bar for Action for AIDS and Ooga Chaka, and then I also sponsor all the stuff for Pandemonium from the bar. You know, I try and give back as much as I can now from everything that I gained here in Singapore.
Well, awesome, man.
Yeah, I really try and do that. And I'm lucky to be in a position that I can do that, and I can use my name and I can use whatever I've done in the past to be able to do that.
3 months to 18 years. Why?
Because Stephen's gorgeous.
Thank you.
No. Do you know what? I set up a life by accident. I actually set up a life by accident. What would have been a quick trip and singing some songs with some great musicians became a way of life. And I love Singapore. And I really cannot say anything different than that. I really
Singapore
are.
Singapore is home for 18 years. Yeah. Trying to get a PR and still haven't
Yeah,
get
still
it.
Not even PR.
I really don't understand. Yeah. Whoever
Yeah, hello,
this,
if you're watching.
Hello, give this man a PR, please.
Hello.
You know, he's been around for 18 years.
I reckon
doing all the charity work.
I reckon I've raised about 6 million or 20
yeah.
million or something for charities
on,
or something.
You know.
It's just the way it is.
So give that man the PR and the tiger.
Yeah.
No, don't drink beer. Give me a red wine. No, but really, I think that would be my thing. Yeah.
Well, anyway.
Always give back. Whatever you can get in here, if you have the ability to give it back, because that's very important. Well,
thank you very much, man. Really, I appreciate that, man. I mean, it's really nice knowing that, you know, guys like you come here to work and then you really give back to at least man. Singapore. You know, I mean, I really try. Really, thanks so much, man.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Even though the fact
well,
that
you
haven't given
you
a PR,
in.
But
you took me in. You took me in, so it's only good that I give something back.
Yeah. Anyway, guys, I really appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you for inviting us.
I really don't know how we're gonna do. How we're gonna do any post production?
We're not singing again, are we?
You might just want to keep it all.
Yeah, just keep the whole lot. It could be a very long
keep
conversation.
It all, but we were all over the place.
Yeah.
All over the place. As a matter of fact, most of the things I have here were actually it all got laid out.
Oh, really?
Yeah. In the course of this conversation.
Wow, that's so weird.
It's really weird. And that's why I'm saying it's really
all
gelling
together.
Kind of strange. But
like I say, when you put me and him in a room together, you see the how yeah. the,
no,
the atmosphere changes.
I don't just see the bromance. I feel the bromance, man.
You can feel it, right? I genuinely have so much love for this.
Bring Rob along.
Can I bring a partner along? Rob, I say we've got so much things to say. You know, true.
So you didn't bloody invite me first. You can fuck off now.
You've been drinking
Get out. Quit.
You've been drinking my wine, bro.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to drink more of it now.
Anyway, thank you so much. And
it's my tribute
to the two of you.
Yeah.
Please continue doing what you do, okay?
We will.
Right? Really,
I hope
really.
So.
Really. Just continue
years,
doing.
Another 18 years? Well, if Rod can do it at 80, that gives me... I'll only be 70, so it's okay.
Oh.
I wish you guys the best, and thanks again for being on the show. Everyone, you've been watching the Chris Hansen Conversation. Well, I hope you don't censor us, though.
You possibly might.
It's been a fun conversation, and if you're one of those that's really feeling yicky about this, you're not meant to be on my show. Till next time, this is still season 5, and we're going to continue with some more some more guests for the tribute series. So make sure you come back again next Friday. I'll see you again real soon. Bye bye.